Welcome to Fat Mascara. I'm Jess.
What are you doing? Are you dancing?
Maybe.
I love it. I'm Jen.
I'm energized. It's a beautiful day in New York. Jen is back from Paris.
Yeah, bonjour, everyone.
Your body clock says what right now? Like almost.
I've been up since 1 a.m. So I've been up about
almost 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a stronger gal than I am because I can't do that.
I'm here. I'm ready to bring it. I will actually tell you about my Paris trip. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit.
We'll talk about that a little bit. And then we're going to talk about what else?
Chafing. It's an issue this time. It's an issue all year long for a lot of women, but especially in the heat.
Oh, my God.
And,
yeah.
I've got some tips for like skin rub issues.
Okay,
if you
great.
Will.
Great. And then we have a guest who, wow, I mean, like, where do I start? Dr. Macrine Alexiadis. She is a dermatologist. She has a billion degrees. She's super smart.
I think she's also a Fulbright scholar, we learned.
Oh, God, yeah. Fulbright scholar. So if you want to feel better about yourself academically.
Don't listen.
Fast forward now.
No,
she's really, really informative. But I have to say, like, this is a listen where you need to really use your brain. You got to pay attention.
So much about antioxidants and topical ingredients. This is like a good science primer for you guys. I feel like our listeners who love the like skincare science are going to dig this.
Yeah, and you're going to blow your friends away when you're like walking through Sephora or Ulta with them.
Oh yeah, you're going to come away with knowledge.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Impress.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
I don't know if we have the rights to some French music. Can you sing some little French music for me right now? Like, like Amelie, you know? I picture just like, you know, me walking the streets of Paris. No, I'm back. And I want to tell you, because sometimes people like to hear what goes on in our jobs on like when we're not on the mic.
Yeah.
I was there interviewing Emily Ratajkowski. She's the new face of, or she's new hair of Kerastase, I should say. But I want to give you haven't heard any of this. I want to give you a little behind the scenes of
my
interview. So we do the interview. I got some good tidbits that are going to be in Mary Claire, but I can share them with you as well. The girl does her own eyebrows. She does her own makeup. She only gets help with the hair. So as the interview is wrapping, the publicist is like, okay, it's, you know, you ready for your selfie with Emrata?
Are you fucking, excuse me, are you kidding me?
So we were in the door, but I know she heard me. So now I feel bad because I didn't realize that she was still there. And I was like, I'm not taking a picture with her.
I mean, if she was wearing like a hat and a baggy sweater.
I was like, Jen, why didn't you just wait till you were like further out of earshot? Maybe she didn't hear me. I'm still unclear on that. But it was just us in this hotel, a Parisian hotel suite with the publicist and whatever. And then as we're walking out, and I just was like, no. Who would want that?
You know, I shouldn't be like, oh, like, listen, you can hold up to Emrata, but it's not about holding up to, I need to like kind of wave the flag a little bit and be like, no one should feel badly because of Emrata. But
no,
I have to
it
tell
wasn't
you,
it was going
to
feel badly. It was just like, what would
I'm
I do?
I'm projecting.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You do not want a picture next to like one of the.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I have to tell you, there's not many people who. And I'll let you finish your story in a second. But, like, I have to confess. There, you know how a lot of people feel like, oh, like, I'm looking at this Instagram girl or blah, blah. So-and-so makes me feel so badly about myself online. I think I'm a savvy, mature enough woman to know, like, I don't need to look like a 22-year-old, bootylicious, like, the boobies, the boot, like, everything. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. you know, the whole package. I don't really, I just kind of whip through it. I see it for what it is. But something about Emrata makes me really feel bad.
About your own self.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
It's funny because when I was polling people, like, what questions would you ask her? And I was talking to other people about her. And even Kerastase people, and they love this about her. She's very feminist. She's unapologetic about showing her body off. She's very proud of it. And she thinks there's nothing wrong with that. And I totally support that. But I also think you have to think about the history and all the women that did the work before you, who did all the like struggled through feminism mm-hmm. so that you can show your booties and your butts off without.
True. Yeah, I don't have a problem with her ethos. I think it's great that
she that's funny because some people were like, she wasn't polarizing. But like some women are like they wish that they had that confidence.
Yes. You know, if I looked like her, I would be. Super, super confident. I don't know. I think I'm just her physique is so incredible. Her hair is beautiful. She's beautiful. And then
she's
she has
never dyed her hair. Ever.
Yeah. See, it gets worse. And then she also has that confidence that is like jumps off the page, jumps off the screen. That for me, it's like, ugh,
and you also kind of like, damn, I probably would be friends with her. She doesn't seem that annoyed.
That's why she's like, she's everything.
Well, she was lovely in person. I will say, I've interviewed a lot of celebrities. She wasn't the most beautiful celebrity. She's got a very girl next door quality when you're up close with her. She photographs very differently.
My neighbors didn't look like her.
No, well, she's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. But like, if you're not seeing her in a bathing suit and just like in a cute outfit, she's like a beautiful woman, but not like, I can't speak, you're so beautiful.
Right.
But it was.
Who's your I can't speak, she's so beautiful person?
Oh, you weren't here when we talked about this, me and Patrick Ta. It was. Adriana Lima.
That's your person?
Her eyes are like so icy colored, but her hair is so dark and it's like this weird contrast and she stares through your soul. And I was just like,
I'm surprised.
I mean, and the other celebrity that I got speeches in front of, and I mean, at this point, probably 100 celebrities I've interviewed and done profiles, Tina Fey.
Okay.
Because of I was just
intimidated by her coolness.
And she has skills in like writing and things that like impress me so that I ended up sounding like an idiot and I couldn't even talk. Who did that to you?
Who did that to me? I think I've never met her in person, but Marion Cotillard. Another one who is just like phenomenal. I know people might be like, it's not totally real or whatever. But when I met Bella Hadid, I felt like a little like 12-year-old dude. Like, I was just kind of like,
oh, she's gorgeous.
She was stunning. Mm. Like, her face, her eyes, like, the shape of her face, like, the pain from, like her cheekbones were, like, a big, like, window pane. Like, everything was, like, open and beautiful, and she was nice.
That's, like, another Patrick Ta client. He's got her and Adriana Lima, all those, like, feline.
God. Yeah, she was feline, and also we were sitting on a couch, and she was, like, tucked up on the couch, and nothing was,
and
like,
this whole thing?
Yeah, it was all just, like, she was tucked up, and I swear to God, like, a crop top, like a tank crop top.
But yet still folded over, and that was okay?
Yes, and I was wearing, like, my best dress to interview her, which just, like, skimmed the body.
And she looked like she was at the dorm room ready to go take a shower with her bucket
of
stuff.
Yes, yeah, and I felt so, like... I've got a big interview, you know. So anyway, these people, man.
I know. I just feel like our listeners might want to hear about like what it's like to on the other side of those celebrity interactions.
Do you want to hear more about this or is this annoying?
This might have been the worst segment we've ever done. You're probably annoyed at us. I don't know.
No, I kind of liked it because I don't talk about Emrata enough and I clearly have a lot of like unresolved like crush issues on her.
I'm happy I can help you sort of work through them a little bit.
Thanks. I have a natural segue.
Yeah, from Emrata too.
From Emrata. I bet you Emrata never experienced what I did when I lived on a fifth floor walk up in like the hottest summer of the early aughts.
And what was that?
I remember coming home to my old apartment, taking off my skirt and like screaming and looking at my little thighs, and they were bright pink and like prickly red.
Oh my God.
I lie there for like an hour and just like wept and put ice on them.
Nothing burns like skin chafing. Like truly. And it could even stab sometimes. It's the gross. I don't think Emrata has that problem. Her legs are literally 3 feet apart. But let's get into chafing. This is an issue that I feel like a lot of women's magazines don't really talk about.
I think my hips are just close set.
Is that what it is? Close set hips. It's the opposite of like what they call like a birthing hip. They say like a close-up hip.
So yeah, I was just like on fire, and
I think
I'll never forget
that day. Heat makes it worse, obviously, because you know there's sweat situation in there. Oh, and it's not even a size issue. I think a lot of women deal with this. I'm sure also plus size women as well. In fact, the reason I wanted to talk about this was while I was on my trip in Paris, most of the time I spent hanging out with this model. Just me and the models. She's a plus size model. She's also got a day job. She was just like the coolest girl. Her name's Katie Lee, Catherine Lee. Anyway, we got to talking about chafing because we were both just like, the heat's unbearable.
Yeah, it was like 100 degrees in Paris, right?
It was
104 or something.
Yeah, it was insane. And they don't have air conditioning, really.
Jesus.
We both have the same favorite product.
What is it?
Monistat. Monistat powder gel. Have you ever tried this?
No.
I don't think it was around in the early aughts when you
were screaming in the West Village.
Yes. So also when I was doing marathons, and you would get like there's nipple chafing sometimes.
Oh, stop it.
This stuff is amazing. It's like I think it's probably a lot of silicone in it, mm-hmm. but it's like a cream, but it turns to a powder, but it has this slip that you would not believe. And so she likes it on her inner thighs, but it's also good for like under a sports bra if it's like rubbing, if you're running or things like that. I really wish they would have put it under a different name so you don't have to feel like I'm going to buy Monistat, but Monistat powder gel. And so I wanted to tell everybody about it because it's summertime.
I'm laughing because I'm picturing like if you really lube your thighs up in the, like, you know, the inner thighs.
You don't even need that much.
Like, do you just go flying to work?
It's like,
is this a competitive advantage for runners?
Literally, my next segue was we were also talking about running. She has also run a marathon, and she was talking about, no, I wore tights. I wore shorts, and I really regretted it because you do get chafing.
Oh.
She was like, no, I wore leggings. And she was like, it also just lets your legs, like, slip together better. Like,
yeah,
you're just,
yeah.
Right.
So I've heard, I know, I really, I actually never been using anything, like, to help with the chafing. I just kind of suffer through.
Mm-hmm.
But that a little Vaseline isn't a bad idea.
Not a bad idea, no. But you don't want to like have Vaseline on you in the summer. So I also wanted to add one more tip to this segment because
I've got something.
Oh, go for it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Vaseline is actually coming out with a product.
Really?
Yeah. So stay tuned for September. I signed a special NDA or whatever.
Okay.
But well, stay tuned, runners. Okay.
The last thing I wanted to add to this was based on some news I heard this week. A lot of women also use powders this time of year to like,
oh yeah,
both for chafing and just refreshing and that kind of stuff. I'm not sure that everybody still knows this, but talcum powders with talc in them, you cannot put on your vulva region, your genitalia area, anywhere near that stuff because it is linked to cancer. Multiple studies that if you put talc, okay, not like a cornstarch-based powder, which most of them are now, but some of them still have talc in
it,
you should not be putting on a baby's genitalia or your own or anywhere near.
Okay.
And so just this week, a woman was awarded $417 million in damages from the makers of a talcum powder because she was using it after shower to refresh or whatever, and she ended up getting ovarian cancer, and they were able to link it to her extensive usage of that particular ingredient.
Wow.
It can be carcinogenic in very high doses, but remember also that area of your body is very permeable, so it's not like you're putting it on your armpits or whatever.
Yeah.
Cornstarch-based powders are very easy to find, though.
Okay. Look for the cornstarch.
Yeah.
And the Monistat.
This is a sexy episode. Emrata, if you're listening.
I was just saying, Emrata, can you hear us? I love you.
All right. It's not often that we talk about supplements, but when we do, you know that we mean it, all right? Every day I do my skincare routine, and that is a cleanse, I moisturize. Of course, I pop a little antioxidant in there. I'll do a little serum underneath there. But what is non-negotiable for me lately is I take a supplement. That is my Ritual Hyacera. It's a wrinkle support skin supplement, which is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and improve skin smoothness. I'll take that.
I'll take it too. Ritual Hyacera is a once daily skin supplement. Jess said clinically proven. Let me give you the deets. In a clinical study, Hyacera led to a 3.6 time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles within 90 days as compared to placebo. Jess and I have been taking it more than 90 days. Let me tell you, it works. Plus, Ritual Hyacera has led to a 2.9 times increase in skin smoothness in the same amount of times. It's rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. You don't always know if a supplement does that. Ritual also has industry-leading sustainability standards. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, love that, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. Plus, female-founded, B Corp, meaning they're holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of the people and our planet. You gotta love that.
Yes, okay. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust.
Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off. Okay, everyone, guess what I did last night? I slept in my Honeylove bra. I don't think I've ever slept in a bra before. Usually, I am so excited to take off my bra at the end of the day, there would be no chance I would lay down in it. But Honeylove bras are that comfortable. And if you're someone who does like to sleep in a bra for a little extra support, I feel like the Honeylove crossover bra should be your sleeping bra. Did I just coin a thing, sleeping bra? I don't know if they'll approve of that, but I love the idea. Obviously, you're gonna wear it out all the time too, because Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for uncomfortable wires. Plus, they're made with a fabric that's so soft, it feels like a second skin. Is it spring cleaning time in your house? I know it is in mine. Clean out your bra drawer, get a few from Honeylove. They have the V-neck bra that's smooth and seamless and hardware free. And then my personal favorite is the crossover bra with adjustable straps and a hook back closure. And of course, again, no underwire in that one either. The Honeylove supportive bonding lifts and supports without those uncomfortable wires. And while you're at it, why not pair your Honeylove bra with their matching shapewear, or maybe a pair of their breathable, versatile leggings. Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. It's honeylove.com/mascara. And then after you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we here at Fat Mascara sent you. Honeys, you deserve this. Again, that website is honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. Okay, so there are some stories about my mom's life that I never get tired of hearing, and they're usually the ones in which she's trying to right some injustice and then ends up annoying the people in power, and I love that about her. Anyway, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve memories and stories for the mother figure in your life or any of your family or chosen family. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. The prompts are really good. The kind of things we ask guests here at Fat Mascara, little things like what's your favorite board game? And more important things like what's the best advice you've ever gotten? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to the email with a story, long or short, doesn't matter. You'll be emailed a copy of what they wrote, but they'll also be collected. So you'll get to enjoy the retelling of the stories and probably learn some new things in the process. Then after that year of fun, Storyworth automatically compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book. Even though I know some of my mom's best stories, I love that the weekly prompts are helping to uncover more details and that they'll be collected in one place for me to revisit and read through. Don't think I'm not going to pull this keepsake book out at our next family get together to share some of them. Listen, everyone loves Storyworth. It has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/mascara. That's storyworth.com/mascara to save $10 on your first purchase.
We are here with New York City dermatologist Macrine Alexiadis. Yes, also known as Dr. Macrine in some circles. She is an associate clinical professor at Yale, and she's got 3 degrees from Harvard, a BA, an MD, and a PhD in genetics. She also founded the line 37 Actives, and today we are chatting with her about antioxidants, a word that comes up quite a bit on this podcast.
All the time, and good job on the pronunciation of her last
name. Thank you. I know, I was nervous I was going to totally, you know, like botch that.
You did not. Yeah. Welcome.
Okay, Macrine.
We're just going with Dr. Macrine from now on.
It's great to be here hanging with you too.
I know. I'm very excited for this episode. It's a long time in the works. So before we get to into antioxidants, I just want to talk about your academic background. It is quite impressive.
Thank you.
What is the genetics degree about though?
Yeah, so my start in science dates back to when I was around 12 years old. I started working in a lab at St. John's University, Dr. Richard Lockshin, on deriving plant derivatives that would essentially work as oral contraceptives for insects. And why
sexy.
Is that? So sexy.
Already like a direction I did not expect.
I had read Rachel Carlson's Silent Spring, and I recognized as a child, like a preteen.
I know this book.
Okay. Yes. I was like,
my husband
know.
Introduced me to this book.
So that's how far back.
What is Silent Spring? Just for our, we're going to talk about reading later.
It was about the fluorinated hydrocarbons, which are pesticides that were being used since the 1960s on crops. And these were concentrating over time into human tissues, for example, mammary glands, which is the women's mother's milk.
Yeah.
And I was really obsessed with this from a childhood.
So it caused harm, right? Is that what you're saying?
Cancer, like, okay. Yes, okay. And deaths. And so that was the inception for me of clean beauty. Like that's how far back it goes for me. We're talking like, you know, 40 years. So when I read that, I realized that's what I wanted to focus on was protecting the earth and all wildlife and humankind from poisons. So once that happened, I searched and found this lab that was working on something really interesting. And so my idea was, instead of using pesticides, can we find natural alternatives to control insects so that we're happy and they're happy? We get our food and they don't like drop dead from poison that ends up in our bodies. So there was this incredible scientist who was working on this. So I worked in his lab starting at 12. Age 12. I was really precocious when it came to the sciences. And
Where did you grow up?
In Jamaica States in Queens, New York.
Okay.
And home to, you know, Mario Cuomo, who actually was at my graduation when I was valedictorian in sixth grade. Like, I really have deep roots in New York society. And, you know, we have obviously other famous people who are from that area. But when I was growing up, it was a very kind of suburban, cool community. Mm-hmm. But it was also very science oriented. It was almost like the STEM that's going on right now was happening then in the New York public school system. And even though I had gone to like a Greek private school and then I went to public school, I was really interested in science from a very young age. And I always loved research. And St. John's was a walk from my house. So that was great. And it was really convenient. So I went there and I started working for him. And I was doing really cool things like trying to figure out how we could get these natural forms of birth control out of plants and feed them to these insects. And basically what these plants do is and they're just random plants like the Douglas fir, for example, which is an evergreen. And the insects just never become sexually mature, so they can't reproduce.
Right.
Well, I then went to Harvard at the age of 16. And the first thing I did in my freshman year was look for a lab that was continuing this work. And the first lab that I went to was Carol Williams. And he wrote the paper on this concept, essentially, of interfering with insect development through plant actives.
So you got the whole PhD before you even got your MD?
Well, no. I'll explain what happened. Ironically, I just found out actually a few weeks ago, after all these years, that Carol Williams was the mentor of my lab head in New York City.
What?
I know. It's crazy. So I ended up working for him for several years. And then I switched to plant molecular biology for Lawrence Bogarad at Harvard. He is famous for having sequenced the entire chloroplast genome. And what I did for him was photoregulation of gene expression in plants. So that means how light turns genes on and off in plants. So now I've become an expert in insect biology, and now I've become an expert in plant molecular biology. So by the time I got to Harvard Medical School,
connect us to dermatology.
I'm connecting the dots. Yeah. I then took a gap year to do a Fulbright in bioengineering of agricultural crops. So I took a gap year between my undergrad and the MD PhD program. So I got even further expertise in the science of plants and agricultural crops and the earth.
So you're like a Fulbright scholar?
I'm a Fulbright scholar, yeah. It's very cool. It's great. And then I went – so then when I landed in medical school, I learned how it works is you do 2 years of basic science where you learn physiology. Then if you're an MD PhD like I am, you go into the lab. But because of all the research I had done as an undergrad, I immediately qualified to start my thesis.
Does so that mean like you're in the lab?
I'm already doing experiments.
Like you didn't have to wait to go to the lab.
I didn't have to do 2 years of basic science.
Oh, wow.
My field. It gained me 2 years. So what that meant was I spent all 4 years doing research as opposed to being in a classroom. Mm-hmm. So my research was very intense. And at that point, I decided it was time to work on mammals. That's us.
Yes.
Oh, so I went from insects to plants, and then I got into mammalian biology. And I ended up in a lab that looked at gene control of development. So I really learned how we become who we are from the egg. So it's really, really cool. So that was what my PhD was. So it was the genetics mm-hmm. of cellular development, and it was in the Department of Genetics. And then I went back and finished my MD and ultimately ended up in terms of a clinical background in dermatology.
Can we bring you back to science school for a little bit? Let's get a science lesson.
Science school,
I think we have the exact right person. So if we wanted to ask you about any chemical under the sun or biological material, I'm sure you would know.
Or bug.
Or agricultural crop.
Yeah.
We wanted to ask you about antioxidants. But so before we do that, what's an oxidant and why are we anti them?
Well, okay. So, you know, there are reactions that occur in cells that involve oxygen. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that there are very highly reactive species that are called oxygen-free radicals. Mm-hmm. And oxygen-free radicals are basically oxygen that's got active electrons associated with it, extra electrons. And electrons are really what drive chemical reactions in the cell. So what happens is if you're exposed to ultraviolet light or you're exposed to pollution and perhaps some other toxins, you generate these molecules in the cell called oxygen-free radicals. They can then do some bad things, particularly they can break up membranes, they can cause damage, they can cause mutations. So antioxidants stop that from happening, and they can stop that from happening at many different levels in the cell.
Okay.
So when we're talking about antioxidants, we're talking about interrupting that entire process mm-hmm. that ends up causing ultimately mutations to the cell that result in potentially either cell death or cancer.
So they're, in a way, let's talk topical skincare. They're preventative because they're preventing this oxidation. Are they also reparative? Can they fix stuff that already happened bad to your skin?
Well,
or both.
Yeah. You know, primarily antioxidants work. You know, there are basically two classes. There are the chemical antioxidants that people use to kind of like preserve products. But what we're talking about in skincare are the
Are those the ones that are like put on the label?
Contains, blah, blah. Yeah. To prevent degradation of a product mm-hmm. over time.
Okay.
But then we have the antioxidants that we're using in skincare where the primary goal is to prevent oxygen-free radicals and oxidative damage from occurring. Mm-hmm. But I think that what we've learned in the past couple of decades is whereas we started out with the very simple antioxidants, which are vitamin C and E, for mm-hmm. example, we've become much more sophisticated. So whereas vitamin C and E work to block the ultraviolet-induced free radicals through a number of mechanisms, mm-hmm. we have discovered a host of quote-unquote antioxidants that are far more complicated than that. Mm-hmm. Some of them, like glutathione, do important cleanup in the cell. To your point, the cleanup of oxygen-free radicals can have far-reaching effects because it gives the cell a chance to repair itself.
Oh, so the antioxidant isn't doing the repair, but it lets my skin do its repair.
Yes, and there are antioxidants are going to work on different parts of the cell. So whereas you may have water-soluble types of antioxidants like vitamin C, E, ferulic acid kind of floating around in the cytosol, you may have other antioxidants that are much more complicated molecules working in what are called the mitochondria.
Loves the mitochondria.
Yeah. Other ones
the
that
mighty,
are working
mighty,
in the
powerhouse of the cell.
The mighty mitochondria. Yeah. It's so cute. And then the nucleus. And then you have these very complicated antioxidants where we really don't understand 100% how they work. And this gets to your question.
Yes.
So resveratrol is an example of something that popularly
that's from grapes, right?
Yeah, I mean, it can be referred to as an antioxidant because it has antioxidant effects, but it also has these other effects like increasing the longevity of the cell. The cell lives longer. The lifespan of an organism like mice, you can feed mice resveratrol, they live longer. So these are complicated outcomes from what we traditionally have labeled as antioxidants that can't be explained.
Oh, here we go with mechanism of action.
Right.
We don't know, but it works. I love when doctors say that.
So are vitamins C and E, are they like has-beens?
No, the way I look at it is, some people accumulate they're collectors, right? They collect stamps. Other people collect antiques. Macrina Alexiadis collects knowledge. That's like my thing. I'm a collector of knowledge. Actually, it was a patient who said that many years ago, and it's so true. So in the skincare world, I'm a collector of the world's best ingredients. And just because something's old doesn't mean it's not really good. A lot of times better stuff comes out. But what I like about antioxidants is that I'm starting to classify them according to different mechanisms of action, getting back to mechanisms of action. And one of the things that I'm hoping to do in the next decade, because I'm building out a lab right now, is isolating new active ingredients from plants. But one of the things I'm known for in dermatology is classification of molecules, classification of disease entities, classification of therapeutics. So it is a goal of mine to start to classify ingredients according to their precise mechanism of action. So I still think there is a very important place for the vitamin C, E, ferulic acid group. And the other important thing to understand about antioxidants is that they work slightly differently from each other.
It's good to have a lot of them then.
Yes. And one of the important things to understand is that you can't just have one. So I'm vehemently opposed to having a 10% vitamin C serum. Why is that? If you look at the way antioxidants work, they scavenge free radicals, but they don't scavenge them all. So you've probably heard this before. C has to be with E because they scavenge each other's leftovers. And what happens is if you're using a very high dose vitamin C, it can become pro-oxidant. Because it's
pure acidic. Vitamin C makes some trash that you don't want in your skin.
Yeah, leftover
oxidative. So why on earth would any reputable brand just do a vitamin C serum?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
Wow,
but
that's new information to me.
Well, yes, and it's like that's when you get wonky. You've heard that term, there are wonks.
Yeah.
Well, you really have to get wonky. You have to dig deep into antioxidants. So that just like you wouldn't just eat cauliflower all day. Now, cauliflower is a great vegetable, but what I've learned as a physician is that people who may sound like they're eating healthy, but they eat a very restricted diet, they get sick.
Yeah,
because the way our biology works is that we are protected from a diverse diet. And that means both by mouth and on your skin for a reason. And homeopathy has very little pellets. So it's another area that I study is homeopathy, which uses plant extracts. Those pellets are tiny. Why is that? You need a small dose of a little bit of everything
to have
a balance.
Yeah, we need a lot. It's like a salad. Like you just don't
eat your rainbow salad.
Yes, eat the rainbow.
So
put on the rainbow.
Right. So back to your question, is CE still available? Absolutely. I have the C, I have the E, I have the ferulic acid, I have the fluoretin, I have.
When you say I have, are we talking about?
Oh, my actives.
In your line.
We're going to get to 37.
Yeah. Yeah, because
now I'm starting to understand the 37 thing a bit more.
Yes.
I want to ask you a question about that in first, but I think you had another question about barriers, right?
So here's the thing. I don't know if this relates at all, but I feel like it does. Does this have to do with protecting the barrier? I hear so much about the barrier lately.
Yeah. barrier repair ingredients are essential to my collection. You know, I collect ingredients. Mm-hmm. It's one of my core groups of classified ingredients in my actives line because the skin is our first barrier to the outside world. What does it consist of? Essentially cement. Like our outer layer is called the corneal layer. It's dead cells mm-hmm. that decompensate. And so it's like a bunch of fatty acids and cholesterol and ceramides that are glued together. They're all compacted down. And it's very waxy. You know, keratin is very
lovely.
Waxy.
This is a lovely picture you're painting.
So, you know, that's why water, you can kind of like a duck's tail, you can kind of wipe it off you, right?
Yeah. You ever think about that?
When you get out of the shower, you go, shoop, and it comes right off, right?
Yeah, so like we are kind of like
waterproof. We're Teflon coated. Yeah,
we are.
Yeah, like in a weird way.
We're Teflon coated, yeah. If we're lucky. But there are a lot of people. No,
soggy
it just got
person.
Real.
We're getting real. But there are a lot of what we call polymorphisms. So that these are people in the population who have a change in one of their genes of one of the cements of the cell or the enzymes like transglutaminase, for example, is a classic that helps build the cement. And these people have these mutations and it breaks down their skin barrier. And those are the folks that end up with things like eczema, dermatitis.
Okay.
And why is that important? Because they have like these little breaks in their barrier.
So if we didn't have this gene, we'd all have those skin issues.
Yeah. And it's basically a bell curve, right? There are people who have and don't have. And one of the beauties of evolutionary biology is that mutations are really highly adaptive for us because we have that selection pressure, Darwinian natural selection, the survival of the fittest. So DNA mutations are an adaptive feature of our species because without them, we would have died out long ago. We wouldn't have been able to change.
We have to adapt. We have to roll with the punches.
Yeah. So why some people may look at mutations as a bad thing, having broken barrier as a bad. I understand that. But at the same time, those mutations allow for adaptation. In any event, that's why we have a significant percent of the population who have these types of mutations that results in a broken barrier. But there are many components of the barrier. There are many ways you could have a broken barrier. The other is deficiencies. So we've learned that people who have like fatty acid deficiencies have a broken barrier. Zinc deficiencies, broken barrier. So, and that happens in third world countries or places where they don't have a good diet, but it can also happen to somebody who's not eating well. Mm-hmm. So you're right. The skin barrier will keep bad stuff out. But because a lot of people have a broken barrier, a lot of things get in. And then furthermore, there are a lot of things that penetrate the skin because they are soluble into skin. So that's when we start to talk about UV. If you think of light as a thing, that thing, those photons, which are little things, packets of energy, are actually penetrating through the skin. They're able to.
So we need that barrier tight.
Well, the thing about the barrier is we have a barrier that's a physical barrier. What constitutes the light barrier is melanin. So if you have a lot of melanin, you have a natural sunscreen. And that and how that works in an antioxidant fashion is the melanin serves to absorb all the UV light. So the UV is absorbed by what's called a chromophore. A chromophore is a component in the skin that absorbs light. Chroma is light, is color in Greek. And photo means to carry. It carries light. It takes it, receives it. So people who have a lot of melanin are lucky because they're walking around with natural sunscreen. Those who have less are at increased risk of that UV light not being absorbed by melanin and doing some bad stuff in the cell.
Jess's face is priceless. I'm sorry. I just looked over at you.
First of all, my head is like spinning. Second of all, were your parents scientists? I just need to know like where, like I'm picturing you like emerging out of the womb like, and then photons. Like,
I love photons so much. I'm a laser specialist, guys. So you know that.
Just tell me, what were your parents in this biz? And then we'll go right back to the question.
No, my father was an electrical engineer and my mom was she was a fashion designer and an artist.
Oh. Oh, right brain, left brain. Right brain, left brain.
Right brain, left brain.
Okay, sorry. I took us off course. I'm just like, let's go back to the people with all the melanin. They're so lucky. Their barrier is somewhat protected.
Yeah. Correct. Because they, you're hitting on something so interesting and so like.
Of course.
It takes you to another level of thought, right?
It's mascara.
So we have the physical barrier, and I would call this sort of like the wave barrier, the photon barrier. It's a concept that we've given birth to right here on Fat Mascara.
Amazing, Jess.
This is like Harvard
Macrine.
Club.
Good job.
Harvard Club, like X Fat Mascara.
You guys should do like a speaking panel. We'll take it on the road. Let's talk about the barrier. And one thing for us people with less melanin, we wear sunscreen, as do people with melanin. That's an important thing. Do antioxidants really up the help of sunscreen? We hear that all the time in marketing.
Yes. So now
this is true. Okay,
this
good.
Is true. Okay. This is the deal. So now let's look at how antioxidants work. It turns out
we didn't do that yet.
We kinda, you know how like they lie to you? They tell you that DNA is made up of four bases, and they don't tell you all the exceptions.
Yeah,
they
don't I didn't.
And then
hear
after
that
you pass ninth grade, you get to a higher level. They're like, "But we didn't tell you in ninth grade."
Oh, our basic science is like not cutting it at this point.
Well,
okay, tell us
the
about
life science.
It's just that as you're going through education, it's like foundation and building blocks. So I'm trying to give building blocks here for us here, and also the people who are listening, so we don't
layman's
bombard
terms.
Them.
Layman's terms.
So let's get more nitty gritty. So it turns out that vitamin C and E, they actually absorb wavelengths as well.
Okay.
So a lot of antioxidants aren't even working on the oxygen-free radicals sometimes. What they're doing is they are working almost like sunscreens. They're absorbing UV light.
Mm.
So you have some of that going on as well. And that's why I said that it'll be really interesting as I embark on this work for the next decade of isolating and characterizing plant actives. One of the things I'm interested in is starting to create categories of how many of them are absorbing UV. Which ones are those? And they'll be in one bucket. Then there'll be the ones that actually like neutralize oxygen. They interact with the oxygen-free radicals and neutralize them. They take that electron away.
Mm-hmm.
So they receive the electron so that the oxygen goes back to being just friendly oxygen. And then there are the ones that are the complex ones that go into places like the mitochondria and work specifically there. And then there are others that work on other types of free radicals that we haven't talked about yet that are like nitrogen-based or sulfur-based that come from pollution. Those are free radicals. We don't really talk about it as like antioxidant per se, but they really are functioning in the same way by receiving that very active electron so it doesn't have a chance to go to membranes and make holes in membranes.
And that little nitrogen whatever electron is coming from like small dirt and
smog,
air.
Exhaust,
yes.
Like soot.
Correct.
And stuff.
Yeah, question for you. We always, you know, get these questions. We always get these products like anti-pollution from like, you know, blah, blah, brand.
Yeah.
Is this a little bit of a marketing like scare thing? Or do you think this is a real thing where the pollution's gotten so bad and it's messing up our skin?
Yeah. I mean, it's great that we're having this conversation because one of the examples is vitamin C, vitamin E, ferulic acid, these types of things. Why? Because they are scavenging, they're really collecting electrons for us. So whether the electron is due to a UV-induced free radical or whether it's due to a pollution-induced free radical, we don't really care. They're just collecting electrons.
Our cleanup
so the claim,
I'm
the
picturing little guys
oh
like,
my God.
Like the garbage man.
I have to say, like, I have actually visualized resveratrol as like the housekeeper.
Okay.
That goes around with the vacuum and does some sort of mysterious cleanup. And you come home and everything's just back
like
in
Rosie
order.
Rosie from the Jetsons.
Yeah, Rosie.
Oh, my
Rosie.
God. That's resveratrol.
Rosie resveratrol.
Yes. That's really funny. I feel like everyone's going to picture that now when they use their, you know, serums. Okay, super, super side question. I always, you know, like to Jen's point, like eat the rainbow. I made like a little salad today.
Yes.
I was like, look at me. There's like red and green and
I
yellow.
Feel proud when I
yeah,
do
I always
that.
Feel, yeah, I want to like want someone to see me. Like,
yes. Good for you.
Is those ingesting those antioxidants,
yes.
Can that have a real benefit on skin? I'm
yes.
not saying we need to skip serums or topicals, but does it really help?
I totally agree. I think that I live by what I say, which is that, you know, the Mediterranean diet is my exemplar. And why do I choose that? Look at places, those places, those blue zones where mm-hmm. people live to be 120.
I don't want to
live to be 120. I know, necessarily. But other than lack of stress, they tend to have like this varied diet, the rainbow diet. They have, and they eat seasonally.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why certain things grow at different seasons. And I'm a firm believer that those are the antioxidants and other ingredients you need at that time. Yeah, that I believe
that's you're right. We like adapted as humans alongside all
that's
those plants.
That's it. Yeah, so like watermelon in the summer. And
you were
so
just saying that.
Here's an example of watermelon. And we need to talk about DNA repair because, like I said, there are many different levels where there's oxidant damage in the cell. right? So it can start out with just UV where you absorb it. Then you have the oxygen-free radical, what collects the electron from that. Then you have the other types of free radicals from pollution. Now, look downstream. Let's say we don't collect that electron, and that oxygen-free radical makes its way to one of what we call organelles in the cell. Mm-hmm. So the organelles in the cell, if you picture a cell being a human body, there are little things in the cell that are like the heart, the intestine, you know, the kidney, and they are called organelles because they're like mini organs. And so what happens is that free radical can go and poke holes in the organs. Like imagine puncturing a hole in your heart. You know, you wouldn't be able to survive. That's what happens to the cell. So we then have these antioxidants that are working inside the organelle to try to, you know, stop this ricocheting of free radicals.
Yeah.
But ultimately, if it makes its way all the way to the nucleus and causes DNA damage, that's where repairing DNA is super important. And those I've categorized as DNA repair molecules.
Gotcha.
DNA repair molecules are very abundant in plants and sea organisms that are in bright sunlight. And watermelon is a perfect example. So again, the stuff that's growing in the summer is packed with ingredients that are helping you deal with sun.
And skin issues.
And skin issues.
We have this list of questions and I want to adhere to it. But
you don't have to adhere to it.
I know, but I feel like we have like a lot of really important questions we need to get to.
I want to know what those crappy winter vegetables do.
I know.
Like old root squash vegetable.
Thanks, squash. Actually, maybe they're moisturizing. There's more omegas for like dry skin in the winter. Is that true too or no?
It's quite possible. I think that there is validity to this theory of mine that the seasonal vegetables and fruits are providing ingredients and raw materials that we need to withstand the elements during that season. I've given you support for my theory with respect to watermelon. There's the alginates and the plants.
You're not on trial. We'll take your theory.
But we buy it. We're fine.
So you're right. I mean, there may be higher omega levels, higher fatty acids in some of the winter veggies.
Yeah. So here's my question. You mentioned like you were talking about watermelon and DNA repair. Let me tell you something. If I got a press release, I'm sure there's one sitting in our inboxes right now about how watermelon is going to like DNA repair. And I always look at it, like, how can they get away with saying this stuff? The other term is at the cellular level.
Oh, boy.
Okay. It's like in every single presentation we see.
Right.
Is that BS or actually is this our products and food working at the cellular level if they're able to repair DNA?
Yeah. So I included DNA repair molecules from watermelon. In my neck and deck. So there's a
neck and deck.
In the neck and deck, Latash.
I'm going to start using that.
That's 37 active.
Yeah, the neck and deck. The neck and deck. And I had, the classic alginates, the red and blue algae and the Micrococcus and the Rhabdopsis for like the face cream. So this was really cool learning about watermelon and what these claims that are made by these labs are backed up by rigorous basic science. So typically what is done is that they will apply a product on one arm and the vehicle, which means like the product without the active ingredients on the other, and have you sit out in the sun and then take biopsies and look at something called thymidine dimer formation. What's that? That's when your free radicals get to the nucleus and cause mutations. So we can actually count the number of mutations you get on your arm with or without the product. And that's where DNA repair claims and even antioxidant claims have come into play. Okay.
Got it.
So there is validity to the fact that the net result is fewer mutations in your cells. So that's how the basic science claims are made. The problem is you cannot make those claims in a cosmetic product. So the FDA strictly...
Your stuff's cosmetic though, right?
My stuff is cosmetic and I do not make claims like that.
Oh, okay.
I do not talk about cells.
When you say make claims, you mean they just can't put it on the packaging and the marketing and the advertising?
That's correct.
So there's very likely products out there that act almost as drugs at that level,
yes.
But they just don't tell you that.
They cannot, because then they would have to be regulated as drugs.
Got it. Okay.
And it's the same thing with supplements. Mm-hmm. So supplements that are over the counter, you could look at it like vitamin A is a poor man's Accutane, right? If you take it at high enough dose, if there's toxicity, you cannot make the claims that you would for an Accutane.
Right.
And so my point being that even though we know that some of the things that are sold in the supplement counter are functioning like drugs, they are supplements because they're refraining from making drug claims.
It's just when you think about it with skincare, that's, I think we think of supplements a little bit more like, okay, yeah, yeah, they can't make a claim. But the idea that products can really make the cellular change.
Yeah, like what percentage of products do you think over the counter actually work at a drug level like that?
I will tell you the answer to that. When you're dealing with cheaply manufactured products, you know, really cheaply manufactured product, they typically have ingredients like mineral oil or petrolatum. Ain't nothing getting in your skin. I mean, it is basically like putting grease on top of your skin, and anything that you might want to put in there isn't really going to penetrate.
So even if there's actives in there, they're not getting into your skin.
Yeah, and they're at low concentrations, and they
low
aren't
stable. Low level actives, high levels of these
fillers.
Like,
but if mineral oil is at the tail end of the ingredient list, is that really still a concern?
No, because the way the FDA regulates labeling is you only have to put them in the order of quantity above 1%. So you can put the order of your ingredients any which way you want after you get down below a 1% level. Mm-hmm. So the order doesn't really tell you much after that point. But it's in terms of penetration of active ingredients, formulation is terribly important. So, I mean, I happen to use liposomal formulations, which are highly efficient because they are fatty bubbles mm-hmm. that bind really well. We were talking about the skin barrier being made of fat, lipids. So if you deliver ingredients using a fatty bubble, it is lipid soluble. It will connect to your skin and deliver it. Yep. It connects and boop.
So
opens
you
up
completely anti-mineral oil, like in products?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. My products are mineral oil, petrolatum free.
Even if, like, let's say I put on my serums and everything, and then I seal it in with something that has mineral oil. Because at that point, I'm not.
Yeah, no, I would never recommend that.
Really?
Yes. Yes. And oils in general, sooner or later, they become occlusive and they can cause trouble. For example, there was an oil trend about 3 or 4 years ago, mm-hmm. and everybody was putting oils on their faces. Mm-hmm. And the amount of very deep-seated cystic acne I was seeing in my office among that population was really on a daily basis. And it's insidious because you have to use oils for several weeks before that starts. And they're usually very painful red dots in the center of the cheek that then slowly morph into cysts.
Lovely.
So, yeah, plain oils on the skin are not tolerated that well, particularly in hormonally active women.
Okay. So let's go to your actives. They're formulated well. They're getting into our skin. Why the heck are there 37 of them? Is this all these little buckets you were talking about?
So initially, and this is going back over a decade, I started collecting ingredients over 20 years ago in my mind. And in my practice back in 2000 when I started practicing, that was the beginning. That was the very beginning of the anti-aging skincare plethora, boom of ingredients. Prior to that, since 1980, we basically had Retin-A. Mm-hmm. In the 70s, we had, in terms of inky, 500 chemicals. That was it. Fast forward to, I think it was like 2011. It was like, in recent years, it's now 11,000 and counting. And so the ingredient boom started around 2000 when I entered the scene as a dermatologist. And it started with things like, you know what, antioxidants were coming on the scene. DNA repair, barrier repair ingredients were starting to be thought about. There were a lot who espoused growth factors. I'm against growth factors. Mm. The reason being that if you look at cancers of all kinds, they're often gain of function growth factor mutations.
No, oh, great. So the last thing,
say that again.
All right. So if you look at cancers,
yeah,
sometimes they are due to what we call gain of function mutations, which means increased function of growth factors.
Okay, your natural growth factors or something.
Yeah, because growth factors stimulate the growth and
that's
reproduction
of cells.
That's why
you get a tumor with weird teeth and hair in it.
Yeah, is it? That's it. Oh. You get it?
Truly.
Oh, wait.
Right?
Right, because growth factors work by stimulating cells to make more of themselves.
But those people that have the tumors with the teeth and the hair, that's so rare.
Oh, those are those head-added
cells. Yeah, I was just trying to give an example of, like, it's growing stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to your
line.
Those
are germ
cell tumors.
Let's
get away from the teeth and hair growing.
Okay. Progenitor cells that have the potential to make different tissues. Those are germ cell tumors.
If we've often heard, and lately there's this new marketing thing of like simpler is better, fewer mm-hmm. ingredients is right, better, it'll right. be better for sensitive skin. So now that you have your 37 plus, because I know you keep 50. Collecting,
yeah,
I hear you saying that. How come it's not going to make my skin all break out and sensitive?
Oh, because of smart formulation. I mean,
encapsulating it in those things, is that what you're talking about?
Oh, way beyond that.
Oh, okay.
I got a patent for my original formula. Okay, so let's talk about how formulation can be done really smart. So one thing is the ingredients, and we talked about classes of ingredients. You know, I have the anti-redness reducers, I have the brown spot reducers, I've got the barrier repair, I have the texture improvers, I've got the pore reducers, mm-hmm. I've got the antioxidants, the peptides for anti-wrinkle. I have all the different classes, right? So that's really hard work, is the IP, the intellectual property of selecting the world's best ingredients from the best source labs who have done their work. Then the next is, how do I formulate this so that my actives are active and stable together?
Oh, yeah, you had a question.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, I was doing a little research on your line. It was like, our actives last, you know, much longer than the average, like, you know, up to 6 months after. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of serums kicking around in my apartment that have been open for more than 6 months. These are antioxidant serums. Are they no longer
I was surprised by this. So what I did was I found the chemist who helped pioneer the antioxidant assays, ORAC, DDTP. There are a couple of really key assays that
What's
we use.
DTTP?
Like how you test an antioxidant.
Yeah, how you test for antioxidant activity.
Okay.
Yeah. And we compare typically antioxidant activity against ascorbic acid, which is the chemical name for vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
That's like our industry standard. So you can compare how good your antioxidant mixture is compared to certain doses and levels of this of various different standard antioxidants. And so what we found, and I was shocked by this back then, shocked, was that the leading the leading antioxidant in the marketplace had lost 50% of its activity by 6 months. And you could kind of tell that because it was turning brown.
A serum, like the hot dog serum.
It turns brown over time.
And it gets hot dog smell.
Yeah,
thing beauty editors talk about.
Yeah. Whereas mine had maintained 100% to 6 months after opening the jar. So opening and closing, opening and closing, mm-hmm, and taking mm-hmm. aliquots. And I believe the reason for that was that because mine are all liposomally encapsulated in such a dense formulation, which is a cream polymer technology, that's what I created for 37 Actives, that actually my antioxidants were more protected from oxygen mm-hmm. than this loose, liquidy serum was, which was obviously
even
getting
brown glass
way too
that.
Much oxygen exposure and using up the antioxidants.
What does your serum feel like on the skin? As you know, if it's not liquidy.
It feels like clouds, and it kind of like absorbs right in.
This is the artist side of her.
I know. I was like, wait a second.
It feels like clouds.
Who took over her body?
But what I wanted to say was that's just antioxidants. There are so many other classes of ingredients. So
Your products.
Yeah. In all products. So I hatched this idea that in addition to the antioxidant assays, I hired this chemist who's a third-party chemist in Europe to do serial HPLC analysis. HPLC is chromatography, where you actually take a substance and identify what's in it, right? And I was surprised to see that my actives were at original levels out to 3 years. So that tells me that my actives are so stable in this formulation. I had some luxury skin creams in the industry tested, and in one case that I tested as a comparison, the only thing left at 1 year was preservative.
Oh my God.
So
because the oxygen, it used up all the good stuff.
They just weren't, the actives just
weren't stable.
Weren't stable. They deteriorated over time. And I,
six
I don't want our
serum.
Listeners to be like, oh, Fat Mascara told me that all my products are shit after like 6 months.
No.
But
takeaway is that I've pioneered a new area in cosmetics, which is post-marketing analysis.
So you think other companies should be doing this as well?
I raised the bar. So basically I think we have an onus of responsibility to prove to our consumer, as I have, that once I manufacture my cream, if it gets to you mm-hmm. within 3 years, 100% of my active ingredients right. there at original levels.
If this is just not something I hear discussed very much.
Of course not, for the reason I just described. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've got to try our best.
But don't they have to do stability tests? Like a lot of brands do.
Stability tests have to do with you when you first make a product.
But I know that, like, you know, they'll do stability testing like at 6 months. At, you know, I hear about this. So.
Oh, you're talking about breakdown. Yeah, they want to make sure that the product doesn't separate mm-hmm. and that you don't grow bacteria or a fungus.
Oh, but they don't test for
actives.
It's how
very expensive to do HPLC for years the way I did.
So probably most brands are not doing this.
A lot of women, though, let's be honest, you have way more serums and creams than the average woman. Mm-hmm. So
most people use them.
You'll use it up. Like an average person's using theirs up.
That's
the whole point of buying it, right?
And not for nothing, guys, I'm like you because I also, as you know, right, we were talking before the show that I'm also an editor of derm journals, of course, and books. But the point being, I get gifted a lot of stuff, too.
Mm, sure.
And it's a shame to throw this stuff away. I try to give it away as best I can, but I have fallen prey to the same thing you have. I've opened up jars that have probably been in my medicine cabinet for a couple of years, and I'm like, I do a Hail Mary. Is this going to work?
Wait, so is your whole medicine cabinet just like 37 actives, 37 actives now?
Yeah.
You don't use any other brands?
Of course not.
What about makeup?
No, I have my own treatment foundation. I wish I could do like a 37 actives for every organ, but at least for the skin, I got us covered.
You got us covered.
But when it comes to sunscreen, I haven't formulated the world's best sunscreen yet. Mm-hmm. So I rely on the labs that have been working on this for decades. And some of them are definitely better than others, and I've tested them. And so what I do is, if I'm going to be on a boat in Greece when I'm there for my vacation, I'm going to use the really high SPF, mm-hmm. the one that performs the best for my face. And then maybe for the body, I just stick with, you know, some protective clothing and minimizing exposure. And if I have to, you know, I'll use like one of the organic brands so that I minimize systemic uptake.
Yeah, what's your fave sunscreen?
So my favorite still, and the one that I believe performs the best, is the Neutrogena SPF 100. Or if you can't get that, you can do the 85.
Okay.
Thank you so much for giving
you,
us
Dr.
all
McCrean.
Of the knowledge.
Thank you. This was great.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Be well. Be well.
We're ready to raise a wand.
I'm so excited about
You said that you had a good raise a wand.
I have such a good one. I'm obsessed with this thing in my bag that I'm about to reveal to you, which isn't coming out, so this is getting even more.
There's a lot of rustling. Oh, it's a hairbrush.
When have I ever been excited about a hairbrush?
This is my
new Rain Cry hairbrush.
Okay. It's like a new brand, right?
I love it so much.
Why?
Just put this in your hand.
It's a nice weight. It's pretty hefty.
Okay, you know how the Mason Pearson sometimes hurts? At least it hurts me.
I don't use a Mason Pearson.
Okay, boar bristles, I know they're good. They distribute the oils, but
bad.
Sometimes it's just sensitive, and I don't like that. And I also don't like a squishy bristle.
We're not going to get into it, but boar bristle is very cruel. Keep going.
Oh, I didn't even think about the adverts. This is not boar bristle.
Hideous, Google it, and you will make the switch pronto.
Okay, well, good. You can switch to this Rain Cry, which is a paddle brush with like a cushiony bottom, an oval shape. And there is something about this brush that like is the most massagey, perfect firmness of a brush and like doesn't feel cheap in your hand. Go ahead.
It's fine. I don't have cooties. Can I just...
No, just do it right onto the scalp because it feels expensive too.
You know what this reminds me a little bit of? Like there was this thing called the Tickler. Remember the Tickler? It's not exactly like the Tickler. Google the Tickler. You'll have to Google everything instead of me explaining things. It's like a wire contraption.
That'd be the worst podcast ever.
Google this next. So it's like this little weird wire thing that you like slowly put in your head.
And the egg cracks your head.
Yeah.
And the blah, dripping down. It's like that.
Yeah.
So this is the Rain Cry. This is the large detangling paddle brush. $75. Not cheap. Definitely less expensive than a board like a Mason Pearson.
Yeah.
But it is quality and it looks like tortoiseshell, but it's not. Don't worry.
Yeah, it looks like tortoiseshell.
And the massage you get from this is amazing. And they have a $50 version one too if you're not ready to throw down $75.
Is it a smaller one?
A little bit smaller because this is kind of large, but I have a lot of hair.
Yeah.
And I've been blow drying with it too and it smooths it for straightening, but even more so distributing those scalp oils and like massaging. It feels so good.
Do you blow dry your hair every time you do your hair?
Hardly ever,
okay.
ever.
I was like, I can't blow dry.
Would it look like this if I blow dry it?
No, it looks nice, but you never know like who's blow drying and who's
Sorry,
not.
Sorry, I left the mic for a second. Okay, your turn.
My turn. Remember a few years ago, I swear to God, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago when you gave a razor wand to Clementine's?
Girl, yes.
Okay.
I almost did a fruit this time. That's so funny.
I'm doing a fruit.
Yes!
I'm doing a fruit. And I think it's apropos because we were just talking about fruits and stuff and like antioxidants.
Watermelons.
With Macrine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I know you're craving watermelon this time of year. You know what my favorite fruit in the world is?
A pomelo.
No. I don't think I'm actually I have one. I've never had one.
That's just your perfume.
Yes. Nectarines, baby.
Oh.
They are juicy. They are sexy. They give you a little bit, not of a crunch, but like something happened. You know, like,
oh,
not like...
I broke through skin.
So I'm such a fierce animal. Like, and I have to tell you, they also soften up really quickly. Like, if you get a really hard one, just like put it in a bag or just like in your handbag for like a
day. I believe the word is ripen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what I mean. And right now, New York, you know, New York, I feel like I rag a lot on New York, but it's kind of like there's so many amazing things, too. The fruit stands that are on like every few
corners. Oh, we're
coming
into stone fruit season right now.
And I'm telling you, you go to Whole Foods or something like that, you're going to pay. You're going to pay for even D'Agostino's. You're going to pay for those nectarines.
Are you talking about the guy on 57th and 8th?
Yep.
He's got amazing nectarines.
He's got great nectarines. 57th and 8th. I stock up and I eat them at my desk. I like leave sometimes at 4 and go get one. And I enjoy that fruit. And let me tell you what it has. It has a lot of vitamin C. It has a lot of other antioxidants. And for those of you who are like very like glycemic, keto, whatever. I don't know if this is keto. It's a low glycemic fruit.
Which is surprising because they're so sweet and delicious.
They feel naughty. That's why I like, they feel naughty.
This podcast has been brought to you by Nectarines.
My homeboy on 57th Street. just delicious. So please enjoy them and support your fruit guys. They're working hard out there. Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social, @fatmascara, shoot us a DM, and we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
5.
5, please.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. Warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.